We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Was it worth it? The process, 10-year anniversary, unbelievable. Joe DeCameron, John Richard. What is this, James?
Fire on the Bayou, the song I sent, The Meters.
It's a great song. Yeah, it sounds pretty cool.
They're awesome, man. The Meters are awesome.
Do you recognize this, John?
Funky. Yeah, Jimmy was playing me some earlier.
Fair enough.
But I would not have.
Okay. Second time today, a man of integrity from you. Normally, you're...
Well, now you know.
Well, he changed.
No, I'm saying now you know.
Oh, yeah.
Normally, you're what? You're going to say, normally, you're a liar?
That's what it sounded like, John.
Kinda.
Normally,
where that was headed.
You mislead people with a variety of things.
Like what?
Like my looks. Like, you used to act like I'm
I mislead people.
Yeah, like, I can't tell you how many times I've met people, including, like, old women. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not saying
this is not going
no,
well.
No, I remember.
Hey, old women.
We were in a restaurant one time. There was
how
this,
old you talking, buddy?
All right, how old was she? This woman must have been 75 years old, okay?
Uh-huh.
She came up to me and McGurk's, like, pre-pandemic, 2019 or something. And she's like, you're, like, John Ritchie acts like you're, like, a really ugly person. I'm surprised.
Oh,
like,
God!
So yes, John.
I think I'm being falsely accused.
Like
here.
The tiny feet. Like, my feet aren't tiny. They're not big. They're not small. They're just normal feet. But John's like,
I don't think they're normal feet.
I don't think they're on the smaller size. Well, see, it depends on the thing.
Oh my God.
I seem to go anywhere between a 7 and a 9.5. The sneakers that I bought.
7?
Well
thank you, Rhea.
Well, there was one. Remember, Amy had me in that ridiculous shoe, and
I do remember, but, and it was size 7.
Yeah, but here's the thing: I bought sneakers last weekend, and they were 9.5.
And you got them extra huge.
Oh,
yeah, because your feet were hurting.
See, that's the thing. That's
your little
the line.
Feet were hurting.
When John says, "And you got them extra huge." That's the line where he misleads people, right there.
Uh-huh.
I know you, Rich. I know how you work. 215-592-9494. What we don't know for sure is whether Charles Barkley was taking a shot at Joel Embiid. But I kind of think he was.
I need to say one more thing.
Yes.
Your foot size has no impact on your attractiveness.
I agree. Yeah, she didn't look at
that.
Your feet and be like, oh, right. Richie was wrong.
Yeah, so if I was poking at your feet, it was because, you know, they were pokeable.
That's fair enough.
But it doesn't make you an unattractive man. I don't think I've ever gone there. I think I'm being falsely accused of saying Joe is unattractive.
All right, here's a question for you, John. Keep it real.
4. No, 7.
Oh my God!
On a scale of 1 to 10, what 1 to 10? What am I? What am I? John knew what the question was going to be.
Of course, I did too. I knew exactly what was going.
Because I knew I can get him in an uncomfortable.
Well,
spider.
My first gut reaction was 4, and then I said 7 because I felt bad, and so I would say 6.5.
I'll take six and a half.
6.79.
Okay, you know what? I'll take that. That makes me happy. 6.79. No.
I'll give you a 7. I'll give you a 7.
Okay. I don't think I'm a 7. I think I'm below a
Keep
7.
Keep them talking, Joe.
Number 5 will always love you.
I don't think you're a failure. Like, that's why I'm going over 70.
I appreciate
your appearance is not a failure.
Hey, I want to get to this Charles Barkley thing, but I want to start with Robert Horry, because I want you to listen to when an athlete, or in this case, former athlete, tells you for sure, what he really thinks. Then I'm going to play this Barkley audio. Listen to Robert Horry, frustrated, on a podcast recently, clearly frustrated with Embiid.
Joel Embiid would have just got more buckets by taking his big ass in the paint.
Mm-hmm.
They would have kind of won that series, but no, he want to face up and shoot that little ugly fadeaway jumper.
Crossover,
you know, I'm like,
that,
dude, no. Al Horford is killing you playing good defense because you playing in his
You're
world.
You're allowing him to.
Mm-hmm. Take him to your world.
All right, so clear Robert Horry's intent, how he thinks Joel could play different and play better. Very obvious. Now, Barkley also keeps it real when he's on TNT. Keeps it very real. Very critical. He and Shaq have been critical.
They have really been
very
strong.
Very critical for years. Now, in a television commercial, there's only so much you can do. First off, I don't think you can say a player by name when you don't have the player being paid. Charles is being paid. Joelle's not being paid. Listen to a new commercial. Rhea sleuthed this out. I think she might be onto something here. The question is this Barkley taking a veiled shot at Embiid? There's two different pieces of audio. We'll break them down. Again, he can't say Embiid by name, but this is a – we've been seeing these commercials during the playoffs of Barkley, old man, like 60 years old. Not that old, but, you know, current Barkley. And then Barkley in the Phoenix Suns jersey.
Yeah, the CGI Barkley that doesn't really look like young Barkley.
It's not that good. It's not that good.
They should have done better with
They should have. They've had different messaging, but there's a new one that debuted recently. Doesn't say Embiid by name, but I wonder, is this not him thinking and talking to himself about Barkley and trying to tell people, yeah, I'm telling you about Embiid. Here's Barkley. Is this a veiled shot at Embiid?
Sometimes you're settling in to watch a playoff game, and you get a feeling about a player.
Yeah, he got that look. About to go off like us against Atlanta. That's the day we got our eyebrows waxed.
All right, so he kind of chuckles and keeps going. And just let's play a short version of what you heard there. Short version.
Sometimes you're settling in to watch a playoff game, and you get a feeling about a player.
Yeah, he got that look.
Now, Joel had, I mean, look, there's the good look. I remember Allen Iverson. I could sense, like, man, AI's got it on tonight. He's got the high beams on. He's freaking ready to freaking rock and roll. And then with Joel, it's like the opposite. It's like he's got that dour, sour,
you know it from
down.
the opening tap.
Yeah, you can just sense it. So, all right, maybe that's a veiled shot, maybe not. Let's play one more piece of audio, everyone can react. Because he went on later in the commercial. Again, I think this also might be a veiled critical shot at Joel.
Now, that fella should not be shooting threes.
Everybody does it.
With a keister like that, he should be backing guys down in the post like me.
Now, what are the chances, John, those two comments in a 30-second commercial both happen and are not about Joel Embiid?
Oh, wow. I think it is very possible this is not about Joel Embiid. I think it's very possible was conveniently, molded to be –
comes out 2 weeks after the playoffs.
This is something that Charles Barkley has said a lot of, and I think we sort of identify him with the let's get after the big man for not getting down, on the block. I think this is just
so you
part
think
of
it's
what
no.
He does.
You say no.
Yeah. See, I'm not gonna. Yeah, okay. I'm not gonna.
Rhea,
take it
you
so
say
far.
Yes.
As soon as I saw it, I said, "Oh my God, that's totally a shot at Embiid." Soon as I saw it,
James,
I know.
Where do you stand?
I get it, but I say no.
You say no. All right, well, look, we'll put it out to everyone, 215-592-9494. It's not like Charles...
You think it is?
I do. It's not like Charles has been afraid to be critical of Embiid.
Yeah, you're right.
He also, though, can't say Joel by name in a random commercial. I mean, it would be ridiculous, and it would actually be pretty unprofessional, not to mention probably technically illegal from a name, likeness, and imaging standpoint. But do you think Charles, in his own way there, was taking a shot at Embiid in that commercial? Plus the process, was it worth it? Was it not worth it? If you want to react to Darius Slay and what he said jumping on social media yesterday, defending Jalen Hurts, weighing on that as well. Let's go to Seth in media. Good morning, Seth.
Good morning. Apologies about the feedback earlier. I had no idea.
No worries.
All right, so I'm going to hit on all the topics. It's a great show this morning. First, with Darius Slay, love it. Absolutely love it. It kind of rings familiar of how we all fell in love with Alec Bohm. Having accountability. That's all we really want in Philly. Play hard, have accountability. If you don't win, you don't win, but play hard and be accountable for yourself. And that's what he did for himself and his teammates. I love that. As far as the Sixers, the biggest mistake, I think John and I each have a half of the same amulet. I've been saying this for months and years since it's happened. The biggest mistake they made was getting rid of Jimmy Butler. And my reasoning for this is that it would have been a twofold thing. You would have been able to, if they could have figured out a way to unload Tobias Harris, not sign him, give that money to Jimmy, and get rid of Ben Simmons in the same thing, they could have corrected two huge mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a big problem with the Sixers, and I do think the process was it was a good thing that they did it. And I think it worked in that we got the piece, two pieces that we really need, Maxey and Embiid, to do well. But what this team really lacks, as far as I'm concerned, are the bench players. That's what the 2001 team had.
Sure did.
We had those guys that were just absolute killers. You know, when you needed them to step up, they did. And when Embiid has those type of players around him, they will succeed. And I think this is going to go up one side of Rhea and down the other. Is in a couple of years, if the Sixers do end up winning a championship with Embiid on this squad, all of these process people are going to come back around and go, see, I told you.
No, you're right about that.
You.
Yeah, no, I mean,
the good thing is I'm not worried about that at all.
Yeah, and the bad thing is that's a bad thing.
Yes.
It's a bad thing that, you know. Anyway, Seth, give me an answer, and you're right about 0-1. By the way, 0-1 basically built the bench twice because they traded three bench players, three bench players to get Dikembe in addition to trading Theo, and then had another wave of dudes they signed, including Rajah Bell. That team was so – I mean, Rajah Bell, I never heard of him until five games to go in the season, and then he really effectively defended Kobe Bryant in game one of the finals. It was incredible. Seth, give me an – and then had a pretty solid career – a title with a body of water in it.
Yeah, this is one that I think John should cover. I think, you know, he'd do great with it. And it's off of one of the best unplugged albums ever, is Lake of Fire by Nirvana.
You got it, Seth.
Great song.
All right, we're going to get a lot of good answers here today. There's no doubt about it. 215-592-9494. Right up ahead, what Reese Hoskins said yesterday about his future. That, plus John Johnson, who covered and continues to cover the Sixers process era. He's got a lot of stories through the years, the twists and the turns. We'll talk to John at 7:30, Howard Eskin at 8, and much more. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
This is the perfect time to start planning that new kitchen of your dreams, and Colonial Marble and Granite is here to make those dreams come true. Get a fully installed granite countertop for just $14.99 and up to 40 square feet, or how about an all-in kitchen for $69.99. That includes countertops, cabinetry with sink and faucet package. If you need financing, Colonial Marble and Granite is offering zero money down and 0% financing for up to 18 months on purchases of $19.99 or more. Best way to get started, go to one of their showrooms. I was just at Colonial Marble and Granite in King of Prussia recently. I was hanging out with the owner, Nico's, designer, Sandra. I got to see Stella. She helped me design my kitchen over a year ago. They don't just have countertops at Colonial Marble and Granite. They do cabinetry. They do custom cabinetry. They can help design your entire project there. For all of the details and to get started, visit colonialmarble.net today, colonialmarble.net.
Hey, Jetta Camera here. Father's Day is coming up soon. My advice? Get him a gift from Family and Company Jewelers on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey. They've got a great selection of Father's Day gifts. Obviously, all sorts of stuff. Look, ditch the ties. Your dad doesn't want a tie. Get him something different. Get him something great. Get him something he'll remember, like a handmade pocket knife from William Henry or a unique chain from designer Philip Gabriel. So watches. There's so much there. Show dad how much he is loved with a gift from Family and Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination. Also online at familyjewelers.com.
Brought to you by the Royers for Dentists. James Harden apparently struggling to process what type of decision he'll make this offseason, whether it be the Sixers or the Rockets. TNT's Kenny Smith told John Clark on his Takeoff podcast, it wouldn't be that hard of a decision for him.
You're playing with the MVP of the NBA, of the league. Anytime you have an opportunity to play with the MVP of the league, I don't know how you could pass that up to play with, you know, some young guys who are trying to prove themselves and new coach, new identity. That's a lot to ask, but, you know, I would not be torn. I'd be a Sixer.
Nuggets up 2-1 in the NBA Finals after a 109-94 win at Miami. Zach Wheeler starts for the Phils as they go for a sweep of the Tigers in their rescheduled game this evening, 6 p.m., live here on 94 WIP. Issues with sleep apnea? The region's number one source for dental solutions in treating snoring and sleep apnea. Dr. Pastor online, drpaster.com. NBC 10 First Alert Forecast, hazy, a high of 79, it's currently 59. To stream 94 WIP, tell your smart speaker to play 94 WIP.
Oh, yeah.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes.
So I'm just going to take a wild guess here.
Watching ships rolling.
When Otis Redding wrote this, there wasn't like a Canadian fire billowing in his way, right? I want to make sure we're on the same page,
no.
Right? I just... I can't imagine such inspiration could come in the midst of such, what do we even call this?
I mean,
smoke? Is it smoke?
Yeah,
smoke. From fires.
Smoke. I mean, it's nuts out there. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's very noticeable.
So Philly's game's not going to get played today, right?
So it's supposed to get much better throughout. I'm following like the weather stuff throughout the day. It seems like it's supposed to get much better. The phrase that the weather people keep using is hopefully the Phillies will play tonight.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I mean, you'd think they'd make that decision by,
Well, they
think
waited
till
like 4:30 yesterday, so you would hope it'd be earlier today if they're going to do it.
It looks significantly worse.
Well, there is. Think about it this way, too. The issue with this new schedule, the Tigers are in town once.
Yeah.
This is it. So, like, they're gonna try and play it if they can.
We'll see. Hey, today's Twitter poll question of the day is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet of Ardmore. The stylish all-new 2024 Chevy Trax has arrived at Armin Chevrolet, starting at only $21,495. Find new roads at ArminChevy.com. Today's question, and we've been talking a lot about it through the show, the process. Was it worth it? A, yes. B, no. You can certainly vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter and weigh in on the phone lines. By the way, speaking of weighing in, someone who's going to, it looks like, weigh in on the 2023 football season, John. Got to give a shout-out to him. This might have gone a little under the radar for a lot of us here in Philly, but DeMar Hamlin this week, OTA practicing with the Buffalo Bills.
How about it? Wow.
It's amazing.
So that guy is
pretty awesome.
Is cleared to, you know, participate in OTA. Look, OTAs aren't the full thing. You're not hitting and all that, but he's cleared to participate. He has been participating. So God bless that guy.
This will be the first time we ever know the Comeback Player of the Year award winner before the season even starts.
Right. Even if he gets cut.
That's what I mean. Like, whatever. Like,
so,
give him the award
question. Let's say he's, instead of 47th guy, he's 54th guy. But do they have an obligation to keep him, like, to the Buffalo Bills fans and to the goodwill of humanity?
Absolutely, 100% yet. Like, Think about the story. They cut Tamar Hamlin. Yeah. Like, there's no right. way. There's no, they would give up a roster spot each week just to deal with it.
I kind of think so, too.
I think. But, what I would do if I were them, I'd give one year. Yeah. Like, you know, let's not mess around.
Grace period. Hey, coming up in about 5 minutes, John Johnson will join us on the twists and turns of the process through the years. Are you pro-process, anti-process? Was it worth it? Let's talk to Jen in South Philadelphia. Hi, Jen.
Hi. Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited.
Well, we are we are excited to talk to you, Jen.
Hi. I think the process, absolutely not worth it. I'm not from Philly, but I've been here a long minute. I've been hearing about it most of my adult life. We don't get past the second round. I think the only thing to come from the process, which wasn't even a part of it, is Maxey. His morale, both on and off the court, is something the city needs.
Yeah.
And he's really pulled through as a player. He's exciting to watch.
Well, he is, and the shame of it, you know, as good as he is, he's not good enough to lead them to a title, and they just don't have enough yet. Now, they can make moves and still salvage this, but it is starting to get more and more likely that they will. And I'll tell you this, Jen, 5-6 years ago, I really thought the Sixers were going to be headed toward sustained greatness. I really did. And they haven't even reached – they've reached goodness. They've reached very goodness. They have not reached greatness. And they certainly have not reached sustained greatness.
You know. They absolutely haven't.
Dave, it's very goodness. It's sustained very goodness.
It is.
In the regular season especially. And it is not over.
It's not over.
This still has a chance for a charge. And,
it does.
And maybe it's just this year. You know, but James Harden is going to be a huge part of that. If James Harden doesn't return, how do we manage? Is it Tyrese Maxey? Is it Fred Van Fleet? I still like our chances.
I think there's
you just this past offseason, you were very bullish on this team.
I know.
This incarnation of this Sixers group.
But also, you get back to the Embiid thing. Can you trust him? Because in the end, the only way they can win is with him. I mean, it's the only way they can win. And he's becoming less and less trustworthy. Jen, give me a big answer. Something great, a title with a body of water in that title.
Take Me to the River by the Talking Heads, especially the live version.
Love it. Great answer.
All right, Jen. Love that call. She's all excited to be on. Good stuff. I get a text yesterday from a buddy of mine, and he wrote, this really great. By the way, Jokic last night. So Denver wins. They win comfortably in Miami.
Yeah.
Now Denver up 2-1. Jokic last night, 32 points. 21 rebounds, 10 assists.
Is that good?
So here's the text I get from my buddy last night, and I'm guessing there's a lot of people in Philadelphia that would be of this like mindset, because it's not like Jokic is a player a lot of people have watched a ton. So my buddy texted me last night during the game, pretty late in the game, and he says, Jokic is light years better than Embiid. This is the first time I am really watching him closely. He's amazing. He is amazing.
Yes, he is.
He actually is amazing.
It helps to have Jamal Murray, too. Also with a triple-double.
It does. But you know what also helps? And this is something I don't think, and John, you and I talked briefly about this yesterday, that the offense can run through Jokic. I don't think the offense can run through Embiid because I don't think he's a good enough passer and I don't think he's a good enough dribbler. Like, Jokic can handle the ball.
Yeah.
And
it just sets up such a contrast, you know, because we have it in our minds what it looks like when we try to do this with Joel and we've seen the ball get stolen. It's just a little too sloppy.
Totally.
And Jokic is just so buttoned up and dialed in.
He's impressive.
Does this permanently affect this whole debate? You know, moving forward, last couple years, it was, 50-50 split practically between Joel and Jokic. I think this actually does impact the future.
Oh, it ends the debate until or if Joel comes back with a counterpunch that he hasn't had yet. Like, there is no one in America, in my opinion, whether Denver wins or loses his finals, there's no one in America that should say Joel Embiid's better than Jokic. Mm-hmm. Now, Joel could prove otherwise next year. That's possible. But as of now, I think you'd be a fool to say Joel over Jokic. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Eric in Reading. Good morning, Eric.
I just want to get you off speaker. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you, buddy.
Hi, Eric.
No James Harden, but we're going to probably get him. But I'm going to talk more about the Phillies with Aaron Nola.
Sure.
They still got to sign him, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, if they want to, yes.
Well, the way he was throwing the other day, it looked like a video game. That cutter was amazing.
Yeah.
But get, if he could just give five innings of that every game he plays, would be great.
Well, more than five. But look, I'm still a believer in Nola. He hasn't gotten off to the best start this year, obviously. I would still want them to re-sign him. But look, it's a negotiation. I mean, the reality is, you know, you don't have an unlimited amount of money to pay, and you hope that you can get him at a relatively reasonable price. I would certainly try to, and I tend to think he'll be here, but, you know, it's a negotiation. Look, he's going to be very coveted. I mean, when guys that aren't that good as pitchers can make $100 million, guys that are very good or great at times can make $175 million.
Yeah, he's going to cost.
He's going to cost.
Yeah, I think I heard you say the other day that they're at a premium right now for all the pitchers.
Yeah, and he's a huge name. You know, this pay period, he's going to be, I don't know, paid the second most? I mean, is that what it's looking like, Jimmy?
Second most what, John?
I mean, is he, his contract is in line because of the other guys who are out there and available free agency-wise. He's going to command a ton.
I think he's going to get at least $150 million.
Oh, yeah. It's Shohei, wow, then him. No one's close. Like, the free agent pitching market this offseason is bad.
And that helps him.
That's my point. Yeah, That's my point. It helps him a ton.
Eric, give me an answer, man. A title with a body of water in it.
What are we playing for today?
We are playing for a $100 gift card to Joseph Anthony Salon and Spa.
All right, because I'm going to drop the mic on this one because I got this.
Okay.
All right, because it's got the fires in it. It's got the smoke. Smoke in the water.
So water. It's not a body of water. It's just water.
Yeah. Water is not a body of water.
I think water could be.
Oh, for the
a body
love
of water,
God,
nah.
John.
It's water.
Yeah, but that's not like fine. It
not
counts.
Talking about
it's not
smoke
winning.
On a water
I'm not
glass.
Voting for anyone who says water.
I'm
is
not
there.
Either. Give me a pond. Give me a river. Give me an ocean. Give me. You got a lot.
Bayou.
You got a sea. You got a bayou. Apparently.
Bayou. Thank you, Ria.
You got a koi pond. Whatever you need.
Koi pond.
Yeah, don't
is that a body of water?
Yeah, it's a pond with koi.
What is?
So you just took that episode of The Office off the table, huh?
That's an episode of The
Office.
Yeah,
it is.
It actually is. It is. Pretty famous.
Certainly want to vote for it. What is a koi pond, John? It's a pond
no,
with koi.
What is a koi?
Oh, a little fish.
There he is. No, see, this is a law. He just learned.
Bad job by
Rhea. There's a decent chance
she didn't
know
what was
that
going
there.
On. Yeah. John was trying to set me up for the. He was trying to murder me.
See, is the koi not the fish? It's the pond.
Well, no, he
didn't know
what it was.
He didn't know what a koi was.
I thought it might be the lily pad. Like, I didn't know what it was. Like, I'm hearing about koi. I didn't know if it was algae. Like, I didn't know what koi was. It was a whole thing 2 years ago.
I'm just waiting for the day when guinea pig comes up on the show.
That's a whole nother problem.
I'm familiar with that one.
That's a whole nother one. All right, let's talk more Sixers Hoops. You know, a lot today on the idea of the process. Was it worth it? It's a tricky question to answer. I think it was worth it in its intent. Its execution obviously has not proved fruitful. I would say yes, it was worth it. Because I'm going to go back to the intent, but the execution's been a disaster. Someone who has covered it twist and turn through the 10 years, and it did begin 10 years ago, with the 2013 draft. The night Sam Hinkie traded Jrue Holiday, that's when it started. And for more on that, he's covered all these guys for all the years. Our own John Johnson. How you doing, John?
Joe, John, Rhea, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, buddy. So, John, let's go back 10 years ago and 9 years ago and 8 years ago. Before we get to what it's become.
Okay.
Just set in motion, where were you in those early years? Were you at that time pro-process or the disgust, this is a disgrace and this is a horrible thing and should not even be attempted?
It's fascinating how opinions on this can be based upon your age.
Yeah.
And there's a certain line that is crossed in a certain age where you're totally against it. I was in favor of it, even though I knew that I would have to sit through and cover some bad games. The idea that what they have tried in the past, whether it's the traditional route or try to acquire a couple stars, it didn't pan out, and they had been in purgatory for an extended period of time. So I was on board. I'm like, oh, you know, it's different. It's very controversial. Teams have done it. I don't know to the extent it's going to go.
No, definitely not to the same extent. Yeah, definitely.
Right, but I was on board with it.
So a caller earlier, and I've heard other people reference this before, it's a great phrase, I believe. Tell me if you agree with it. The process did not fail the Sixers. The Sixers failed the process. Accurate?
100% accurate. A thousand mistakes were made along the way, starting with making it public, which set a lot of things in motion, mostly negative.
So what was the biggest mistake? You know, we were trying to figure it out earlier, and there's so many. What's the biggest mistake?
Of the many many mistakes. Many go recency bias with the whole Butler thing, sure. But that's not it. It all began, the biggest mistake of all, which still has a trickle-down effect, is the lack of communication which developed a terrible culture. Which all started, I know many people put him on a certain level, it started with Sam Hinkie. And when he introduced this idea to the ownership group, and as I said, I was on board with it, it's different. Something that Sam did, which was a huge flaw of his, he was a terrible communicator. And when it became public what the Sixers were doing, and it certainly drew the eyes of the commissioner in the NBA, when it was very apparent that he had no intention of winning games and he assembled rosters as such,
yeah.
The locker room was dreadful, Joe. I mean, it was just guys moping about. Brett Brown at a certain point called it gypsies because it was a different guys every month.
Yeah.
And some of the mainstays, eventually once you had Joel, who didn't take it seriously at first, didn't treat his rehab correctly, which is why he refractured that navicular bone. It was just, there was no drive. There was no instillment of work hard, do this. It was, no, we want to lose. And Brett Brown was forced to be everything. He was the messenger for all the bad messages. He was trying to hold it together. And not to say that he would have turned out to be an amazing head coach or anything, but there was no communication. It was a free-for-all. It was a terribly run organization for several years.
So can you still see remnants of the mindset that the process engendered in these players? My biggest worry, a lot of people point to the fact that if it's a process of losing to win, ultimately, you are still coaching these players that it's okay to lose, that a lack of drive is okay tonight. You know, minimal toughness seemed to mm-hmm. have been exhibited throughout. Do you still see remnants that negatively impact this team based on the mindset that was engendered in the players?
Now, in recent years, I mean, Doc Rivers is a different style of coach who focuses on veterans and uses, like, the whole motivational, what do you want to be remembered as? I'm the father, older brother figure. So it was a different style of approach. And Nick Nurse is reverting back to more of a disciplinarian style. It less so in recently, as in this season, but you certainly see effects of that even in the most important player to the whole franchise in Joel Embiid, where it was take your time, don't worry about it. You had an ownership group for an extended period of time that would want to hang out with him on a personal level. There was no separation there. And when you go through an extended tank period where there's no instilled culture, no front office member is backing up a head coach and no ownership group is backing up a front office with something they want to drive home and develop within an organization.
And no owner is backing up Philadelphia. He goes and owns two other towns.
Yes.
I mean, what a disgrace that is.
Yes. There's that horrendous trickle-down effect that for years, like, we look at it, we're like, it's not a big deal. And then you see what the Eagles have developed, what the Miami Heat right now have developed, what San Antonio has had for years. It is a much bigger deal than people realize.
So, John, and John Johnson with us right now. John, you had it's called front row seat, so to speak, not only at many games, in the press spot, but in the locker room, as you referenced. Take us behind the curtain a little bit. Things you saw, things you know, things you heard, things you heard about. Give us a couple stories that signify anything about the ridiculous twists and turns.
Okay, so I'll go with something that's recent on fans' minds. I'll stick with, like, I have some Hinkie stories, some Markelle Fultz stories. I'll go Jimmy Butler.
Yep.
So the departure of Jimmy Butler in a sign and trade, and many believe it was solely Ben Simmons and Brett Brown backing up Ben Simmons, and in the end it was nothing more, and Jimmy's so just ball dominant that Ben Simmons was always going to be the guy. They acquired Jimmy Butler to not just help be a closer and a catch and shoot, but to run the offense at times. They were well aware of the background of Jimmy Butler, a very raw, unfiltered guy. And what appeared to be imminent at a certain point during the very brief stint of Jimmy Butler, and it's so unfortunate, there's this belief that it wasn't Jimmy Butler, it was everybody else. Jimmy Butler played a big part in why he didn't remain a 76er. Although he's still very raw and unfiltered, he's matured a little bit now and under the coachings of Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley's organization, it's much different.
But what does
Miami.
That mean when you say he played a part? Are you saying he didn't want to play with Ben? Are you saying he didn't want to play in Philadelphia? Like, what are you saying there?
So what I'm saying is, so Jimmy Butler, his background of that whole work hard, come from nothing, he's always brought that with him, and it's created a lot of tension in previous stops of his. Like, he's calling out teammates on the court, at practice, and it got him traded multiple times. So he ends up with the Sixers. He's still like that. And the best way I can describe Jimmy Butler's personality, I don't know what it's like right now in Miami, but what it was as a Sixer. A coworker, say, of yours, who you know works super hard, but he reminds you every day that he works harder than you. And he likes to remind you, if it wasn't for me, none of you would be employed.
He annoys people.
That was Jimmy Butler. Yeah. And you can, like, you know, you can scoff it off sometimes, but he was like that all the time. And because he had no internal monologue, what appeared to be a real breaking point between he and Brett Brown, it wasn't the whole Ben Simmons aspect. So there was this very notable practice, and it happened more than once, but I always remember this one time, where we're kind of hanging out waiting for a couple players, and there was a film session going on. And Brett Brown's going over game film with them, and it was a game that they lost late. And he's breaking down, you should have been here, you should have been here, you should have looked for this trailer, it was a pick and roll, and he's going through all the X's and O's. And Jimmy Butler stops in the middle of it, and he says, "Coach, you called the wrong play. Don't be calling out this guy. You called the wrong play." And Brett Brown, of course, he's not going to be like, oh, there's going to be a back and forth. It's two headstrong individuals. And Jimmy had a reputation of always crossing a line when he was, like, in a moment. Like, sometimes you say things you don't mean, but you say them in that moment. He'd say those things without remorse. And it really rubbed Brett Brown the wrong way. And this was how Jimmy always was.
He's a difficult guy to deal with. I mean,
Very difficult.
We knew that going in. Hey. What about Ben? Let me ask you this, John. Ben Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
Where, in your opinion, did they most go wrong with him? Now, let me. Here's what I mean. Was it drafting him that they didn't do their research and should not have drafted him? Was it babying him, not challenging him enough? Was it not, I can't even imagine I'm going to say this, but I'll say it. Was it not supporting him enough? Like, where did they not do right with the Ben thing the most?
It was the nurturing. It was no doubt the nurturing. He was going to be the consensus number one overall pick. Certainly he has a questionable background because of the whole nerd. Like, Ben has always had a grouping of people, mostly family, that would protect him, an outer layer. They weren't bad people, but they would push away all the bad negativity and kind of focus on what he liked doing and what he did well. And, at you know, being drafted at 19 years of age, and it's someone who coached your father, so Brett Brown fell right into that trap, nurtured him, focused on what was good, and said, we'll work on this stuff down the road. Ben was very, still is obviously, so headstrong, and it was allowed for, you know, quite a while. And, you know, there was never a public criticism of him by the organization. Ben's a different character, and it's such a lost opportunity. It's such a wasted talent because a physical freak for a man of his size, it's all going to go
sure.
down for
but
nothing.
John,
it was the nurture.
John, if they challenge him year one,
mm-hmm.
does he buckle sooner? Like, if they say to him, Ben, your ass is getting in there in February of year one. You have recovered from the foot. You will play. If they say that to him, do they not even get a couple All-Star games out of him and he buckles earlier than he ultimately did?
That's a really good question because, you remember, he didn't play at all in his rookie year
right.
because he wanted more money to get that rookie of the year. He
yep.
would get $5 million more dollars. So they sat out the final 2 months of the year. That's a really good question. I know, if you guys remember, during the final days of Brett Brown, when Ben Simmons had attempted that three, had Brett Brown said post-game, I want him to shoot, you know, several a night. I forget the exact quote verbatim.
I think it was like one a game or something.
And then
like
Ben
that.
Never attempted another one the rest of the year.
Yeah.
So there was many levels to it, but it's so unfortunate. But it was more nurture than anything else.
John, you mentioned the term disciplinarian and applied it to Nick Nurse. That's how he wants to conduct himself here. How realistic is it that he can actually push these stars?
I'm anxious. The way the season ended, I think we all – you're like, oh, my God, this is all going to be for nothing. The best season of Joel Embiid's career, and look what it amounted to. Absent in the final five quarters. James Harden's exactly what we thought he would be when it comes to when it matters most, leaving you in like, all right, it's over with. The hiring of Nick Nurse has given me a little bit of hope because he is someone, I'm sure you guys have spoken about, who's big on accountability. He coaches his players hard, and he's an outside-of-the-box thinker. And when – behind closed doors, if guys aren't getting the message or they're not connecting with him and they don't perform the way they should and it's apparent to him they could be better, he will call them out publicly. And it ruffled feathers in Toronto, but it ended up turning out to be the benefit of a lot of those players. Joel Embiid played a part in this hiring. He spoke with Nick Nurse before they hired him, so he knows what he's getting into. And consider, you know, looking at how this roster is assembled, there will be more changes. We know no matter what, Joel Embiid is the guy. So they go as far as he takes them. And when he is absent in the final five quarters of the season when it matters most, I mean, that's everything right there. It all starts and ends with him, rightfully or not, being a center in a guards league. And this is the last-ditch effort to try to unlock something in Embiid we haven't seen.
John, final thing here. Everyone gets a vote today. It's a very simple, although very complex question. The process, was it worth it? Yes or no?
Financially, it was 100% worth it from an owner's perspective. They love every bit of it. The amount of money that they have cashed in and continue to cash in, yes. From a basic organized team sport perspective, massive failure.
So is it a yes or no?
No, it wasn't a success. It was a failure.
I mean, I'm just asking. You gave me
a
yes.
It was horrible.
I said I need a yes or a no. You gave me a yes and a no.
Thank you for 10 years, and we're exactly where we started.
John, good stuff, buddy. Thanks, man.
See you guys.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, there he is, John Johnson. All right, let's go. Like I said, it's a simple question, but it's really not. Because my answer is yes, but I lean on the intent of it. The execution of it was a disaster. And they probably won't win a title. But I go back to I thought the intent was wise, although devious and disgraceful. I mean, literally devious and disgraceful.
Yeah.
And it led to the league changing all sorts of rules. And by the way, I think it also set in motion many other teams in many other leagues being willing to tank.
But not as bold.
Yeah, not as bold.
Or if as bold, just not as brazen about, like, not saying we're tanking.
Right.
Like, teams would do it, just not say, hey, guess what? Look at what we're doing.
Well,
look at us.
There was one other thing that I would say in the next 100 years in sports might be totally not able to be replicated, ever. There was an aspect of the tank that was so unique, it probably will never happen again. The Sixers kept, sort of by dumb luck, not even design, they kept drafting players who couldn't physically play the first year.
Yeah, Nerlens.
Nerlens could play.
Oh,
Joel Embiid missed his first 2 years, which enabled you to continue to tank. Now, they knew he was going to miss a year. Dario, they knew he was going to miss 2 years. So those two were by design. But Ben Simmons was drafted one overall, literally didn't take the floor. He was going to, broke his foot right before the season started. Markelle Fultz obviously drafted, essentially, for the most part, couldn't take the floor. Like, they kept being able to kick it further down the road and keep getting top three picks because they kept drafting top three guys who couldn't participate. Like, that is almost that is almost impossible to do. That'll never happen again. Let's go to Mark, unless, like, David Robinson comes out again and he's going to the Navy for 2 years, or Roger Staubach's going to the Navy for 4 years. Like, other than a situation like that, it's almost impossible to draft someone that high, and he doesn't participate, and then you get to stink again. It's highly unusual. Let's go to Mark right now in Delaware. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
What's up,
hey,
Mark?
Hey, let me double back to what you guys were talking about earlier about Hall of Fame. So I guess James made a comment about Cooperstown being a disgrace. The biggest disgrace is the one in Springfield, Massachusetts.
Totally. It's a complete debacle.
Yep. So,
and
anyway,
by the way, that was part of why I felt Ben. Look, I thought Ben was going to be a legit Hall of Famer. I want to be clear. But part of why I felt so strong in saying, hey, this guy's going to be a Hall of Famer is how low their standard is. Like, Vlade Divac's a Hall of Famer. Guys, Tony Kukoc is a Hall of Famer.
That's amazing.
Like, Tony, like think of it this way. When we talk about the Sixers trading in 01, Theo for Dikembe, right? And controversial to this day. No one ever mentions Tony Kukoc, who was a nice player, a good contributing player.
Solid.
But no one says they traded a Hall of Famer, like, basically in his prime. He was basically in his prime around 1999, 2000, 2001. No one says, oh, they traded a future Hall of Famer, because he's really not a Hall of Famer. Except the problem is he actually is a Hall of Famer. NBA Hall of Fame, Basketball Hall of Fame is a complete debacle. Anyway, go ahead, man.
Joe, I knew I was going to set
you up. Now you teed me up. That and Jack Fritz even contemplating the possibility of DeGrom as a Hall of Famer makes me sick.
Yeah. Anyway, so going back to Darius Slay's comment, I really urged Twitter thing. I thought it was a class move. He absolutely hit the nail on the head and, you know, said, hey, it's the defense's fault that we lost the World or the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Very classy move, and one that I have no doubt Jalen and guys on offense will appreciate.
Yep, I totally agree. Okay, let me give you my guess here.
Absolutely.
So let me go with JT and Cry Me a River.
Has already been said. Give me a different answer.
How about River of Dreams by Billy Joel?
River of Dreams, you got it, man.
Oh, yeah.
So you know who could be crying a river these days? Two very notable ESPN. So ESPN's got another round of layoffs coming up here. You know, they've had, I don't know, three or four of these in the last few years. And they bungle these things. I know for a fact. I'm going to tell you a story, John. I know for a fact. There is talk about the right hand not knowing what the left hand's doing. There is someone notable at ESPN a number of years ago that was let go in one of their rounds of layoffs. He got a new two-year contract on a Monday. They got rid of him on a Wednesday.
So they had to pay him.
And they had to pay him.
What?
So that's for the right hand years. Not knowing what the left hand's doing.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine that?
Brand
new deal on a Monday.
You're let go on Wednesday.
Let go on a Wednesday.
And there were a lot of those stories about people who, like, had 5 years left on their deal
totally.
And got let go. Yeah, a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, and a lot of them got paid out. Like, paid. So, but two very notable, there's reports this week that another round of layoffs is about to come, and two notable NFL ESPN people about to be ditched. So are the reports. Steve Young apparently is going to be axed. And this one I feel bad about. She's Philadelphia, and she's been there for about 30 years. Apparently they're saying Susie Colbert's going to be
out.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
that sucks.
And she's done a great
forever.
Job.
Forever. Yeah. I mean, she should have a lifetime job just for dealing with the Joe Namath thing. I mean, just for having some class and grace through that. Like, she should have a lifetime job.
I mean, look, their economics are obviously totally different. I mean, I actually was thinking about it last night. It's so unbelievable how infrequently I watch actual cable television.
Me too, buddy.
Like, it's less than, I think it's less than, well, no, other than Philadelphia sports games, I got to make that caveat.
Yeah, take that off the board.
Other
yeah.
than the Philadelphia sports games, mm-hmm. I think I watch way less than 30 minutes of TV a day of regular cable television.
I watch zero.
Yeah, I'm kind of with James on that.
I mean, right now I'm rewatching Game of Thrones, which is technically an HBO extension, but you know
that
what
doesn't
I mean.
Count. No, you're watching a show that you want to watch when you want to watch it.
Right.
It's not the same thing.
So that's the thing ESPN's dealing with. They got all these high-priced talent. People aren't watching them as much. They're trying to slash payroll.
Well, they just gave Pat McAfee all that money,
I know.
And then they're slashing
all
these people.
And it's a bad look for them.
Yeah.
But they're also looking. So the McAfee thing is controversial, but I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to do something different to make them better because they have been stagnant and regressive.
Well, he's a hot commodity.
Yeah, he is.
And I like him in spurts.
Yeah. John, were you let go by ESPN? Or what was the deal with you and ESPN? I was let go by ESPN. Trust me, it wasn't for financial reasons. They were just like, we don't need you anymore. Get out of here.
I was on a single-year deal for 4 years. It was always, you know, they wanted bigger name guys, more recent retirees, and I couldn't hold out any longer.
Yeah.
You know, it was, I just wasn't big enough.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean,
And that's sort of just the way it happens under normal circumstances.
Well, you were a good,
for most guys.
You were a good slash very good player, but you weren't an NFL star.
No.
And there's so many stars that they try to
want to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was doing the ESPN radio thing for a year and I loved it. The guy that hired me lost his power. And then ultimately lost his job. And then because of that, I was just ushered out because, like, I didn't have anyone saying, you know, Joe's my guy.
Yeah.
But it was a big step for me.
The camera champion.
Exactly. All right, 215-592-9494. The King, Howard Eskin, joins us coming up in about 5 minutes. The process, was it worth it? Yes.
I can't wait to hear Howard.
Why not? Exactly. Holy hell. All right, let's go to Drew in Westchester. What's up, Drew?
Good morning, folks. I missed you, folks. I haven't gotten to call this week yet. I know we're talking out of process, but I just want to make a suggestion. Joe, when this is over, I think you should put a poll up. More impressive performance, Drew Ellis, 2 home runs Sunday, or Drew in Westchester and beat the Hammer on May 5th? I'm just throwing that out there.
Drew, I got to tell you, you're becoming more and more annoying for a good guy. Like, you're a good guy, but I got to give you, like, a settle down there, man. Settle down.
But Seltzer knows to keep me accountable. I've talked to him. He's told me he'll rein me in if I get too out of control.
I kind of sort of think you're there. I mean, you got one victory.
I love it, Drew.
You're taking my face and you're smushing it in the ground.
A little bit, yeah.
Well, it's my first time this week. I'm not doing it every day.
All right, well.
All right, so on the Sixers, there was a time where I was bought in to the process, and maybe it's because, you know, like Richie and Ike and Hughes, like Eagles teams, were my childhood. So I place a lot of value on, you know, making it to like the Final Four. I feel like if you get there, you're like a serious contender. And like, we make fun of the Cowboys all the time because they can't get past the second round. Like, we always go back to that. So, you know, I get what you're saying of, you know, like, the intent was good, but like, I feel like at some point you got to start producing results. Like, we don't hang banners and we don't make t-shirts and hats that say good intent. So I can't say that it was worth it, because just there's no way when Hinkie pitched this 10 years ago that the plan was going to be this. I feel like, especially when LeBron like left the Cavs again and the Eastern Conference opened, for them to have not gotten past the second round to this point is just inexcusable.
Well, I agree. And Drew, especially because they've been lapped by teams with two different approaches. There's teams like Boston that were drafting right at the same time the Sixers were drafting, and they just drafted better. And then there are teams like the Miami Heat that weren't playing that ping pong ball game at all. The Denver Nuggets weren't playing the ping pong ball game at all. And just by brick by brick by brick by brick, they built better organizations and better teams. I mean, Sixers got beat both ways.
Yeah, I just feel like there was a little too much like arrogance from like Hinkie at the beginning of like, well, like, and I was trying to buy in at the beginning, but I feel like it was a little too much arrogance of like, well, this is the only way to do it, and like, there's multiple teams that have done it in different ways.
No, you're
so
right.
It wasn't
the
only way to do it.
While Golden State ultimately had a Kevin Durant signing that put them in a completely different stratosphere, the way they, with their three main guys, drafted them, I mean, Steph, I think, was like the 8th pick, maybe?
Yeah, he was seventh or 8th.
Okay. Yeah. Draymond was a 2nd rounder. Klay Thompson, I think, was maybe in the teens or 20s.
I want to say 13 or 14 range.
Yeah, so like, there's...
might have been later. There's, maybe. Anyway.
Yeah, there's no top fivers in there. I mean, they had Bogut, but he wasn't even drafted by them. I think they traded Monte Ellis for Bogut, who was a number one overall pick, but not a very good one. So
that's Thompson was the 11th. Klay Thompson, the 11th pick.
It was a failure because there were other ways to do it, and Hinkie was just so, you know, Drew, you said it, was so arrogant about it.
And Milwaukee did it a different way.
Yeah, it wasn't the only way to get it done.
You're right. That is correct. Drew, give me a big answer. A title with a body of water in it.
You got it. I'm going off Fire Lake by Bob Seger.
You got it, Drew. Appreciate the call, man. Let's get to some Reese Hoskins audio. The King Howard Eskin is going to join us coming up shortly. Had a chance to catch up with Reese yesterday. John, we wonder about his future. I find this answer hard to believe, and I'm not ripping Reese. I think it's a fine answer to give in the midst of a season in which his team is trying to compete and he's trying to come back from an injury. I tend to doubt he's really this non-thinking about his future, about an aspect of it, meaning is he going to still be here or not. Here's Reese Hoskins yesterday about his future.
I don't know how tough it is to think about it, but this is the last year of your contract. Have you talked to Scott Boras about what could happen next year? Obviously, you love this team, you love this city, and I get all that. Mm-hmm. But how much have you thought about that?
Not a ton. I obviously have something big else going on that I'm trying to pour my focus into. You mentioned Scott. I'm confident in my representation, and I know Dave has a track record here that if something's meant to be done, it'll be done. I don't think we're at a point yet where I'm necessarily thinking about that. Something that will happen in the offseason.
I mean, look, he might be fully forthcoming and truthful here. I just find it hard to believe. I mean, now I will say this, James. Here's the irony. I'm looking at Richie. he is like Mr. Oblivious guy, and I'm not taking a shot. Like, John, you sometimes miss things that others wouldn't.
Many yeah. times.
And like when playing on the road. Like, you're like, there's no difference playing on the road at home. And it's like, well, the facts tell you you have a better chance to win at home than on the road. But that wasn't your experience.
That's coming
because,
more into that. That's changing a little bit.
Well, look at this mood. Look at the mood of the morning show. Last year in 2022, before we were even approached, John had zero meetings with anybody about it in his private world. I probably had 50. Like, I mean, you guys can't imagine. I'm talking February of last year, March, April, May, like way before we were approached. I was as prepared as possible for every aspect of anything that could be broached about it. So people do approach things differently. Maybe Reese Hoskins is just focusing on the rehab. Seems weird to me, but maybe.
Well, that's why he's got Boris.
I know.
To handle all of that.
Yeah.
But he does like it here.
And by the way, their struggles without him do put him in a better light.
No doubt, dude.
100%.
No doubt.
Right? I mean, seriously.
Hey, you guys missed me, huh?
Mm-hmm. I mean, a couple extra errors at first base doesn't seem like that big a deal.
For 30-plus homers right now.
Right.
Yeah,
and 100 walks.
A second.
30 homers and 100 walks.
The fact
I mean,
is,
you know, seriously.
He's got a season-ending injury, and he's trying to come back from it on a contract year.
Yeah.
When I was in that same position as an Eagle, it was every day. It was the driving force behind my rehabilitation, my hope, my plans. Everything
sure.
was encapsulated in that concept. Will I be back? Will this team want me back? That was every day.
Yeah.
My only thought.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.